And the idea is the following, it's simple. This is quantum process tomography. So you all know what is a quantum channel. It's this linear superoperator, and I write it in using some basis of operators, d square operators, where d is the dimension of the Hilbert space, is 2 to the power n. Essentially, I'm going to talk about qubits most of the time, but it's not essential. And I write it in terms of this chi matrix. So I have d square, basically, parameters that I have to find out to characterize the quantum process. I'm free to choose a basis, which is more convenient to me. And the idea is that the basis I choose should be related to the noise model I have. I mean, it's nonsense to choose a basis which is sort of completely artificial. I want to find out, for example, to learn how to devise a good quantum error correction technique. So I want to know what is the weight of the most likely errors that I will have in the process. This chi matrix is a Hermitian matrix, positive definite, and so on. So there are these conditions that you all know. And there are lots of numbers, and I want to find them. But the point is, there are known techniques, and experts are sitting in the audience. I'm not an expert in quantum process tomography, but the idea of what I want to describe is, suppose that I tell you, I just want to measure one of these coefficients, not all of them, just one of these coefficients, or maybe a subset of these coefficients. And I want to learn, for example, if the weight of a given subset of coefficients is bigger than something or smaller than something, for example, for the diagonal or for the off-diagonal elements and so on. I don't want to do full quantum process tomography. I want to do a partial characterization of this quantum process that may be enough for me. Of course, doing full quantum tomography is exponentially hard, and I want to do something that is not exponentially hard, it's quite the opposite, something that is efficient. There are known methods for quantum process tomography, so this is the interesting questions I want to answer. So can experiment directly access some of these chi elements or estimate if they are bigger than something or smaller than something efficiently? And the answer is yes. And this is what I'm going to talk about. And it's yes, it is possible to do an estimation with a fixed, meaning D independent, so the independent of the dimension of the Hilbert space, a precision. This is important. There are methods known with lots of acronyms. By the way, this is all acronyms must be ARC approved. I was in Los Alamos for a while. ARC means acronym reduction committee. Yeah. So I think that such a thing existed. So there is, for example, standard quantum process tomography. You prepare a set of initial states, complete. You run them through the channel, and then you do full tomography. This is you can do, but of course then you need to. It's inefficient because I mean it's if you do full process tomography to find one of these or a subset of these chi elements is inefficient. You have to do a huge inversion from the measured probabilities to the object that you want to use to characterize the channel. So this is something I don't want to, so I'm not going to talk about. There are other methods which can be done that can be implemented to efficiently access some of these chi elements. For example, this if you have n, big N is the number of qubits that I'm going to have. If you have n clean ancillary qubits and you prepare entangled states of your system plus the ancillary qubits, and then you do a measurement at the end, you can find out this the diagonal matrix element. The off-diagonal matrix element by this process is not possible to find efficiently. And what I want to describe, so this other method is based on recent work on by Joe Emerson, Ray Laflamme, David Corey. Here, authors are sitting in the audience, Moseni, Lidar, Dariano, maybe many authors. I don't want to skip so I didn't put any reference to offend everybody, not to. It's rather better not to. Well, I don't know. Sorry. this acronym, I think, is symmetric characterization of a noisy quantum process. This is direct characterization of quantum dynamics, standard quantum process tomography. Wow. So this one is based on, so by symmetrization, you can build a channel, which is not your original channel, but has in the diagonal, essentially the weight of, so the average over of the original chi elements, diagonal chi elements, restricted to some subsets. For example, one qubit errors, you put them all in the diagonal of the new channel. Okay, so, but I'm not going to describe, to talk about this, I want to talk about something different, which is this method of direct, efficient, selective quantum process tomography. I didn't write the acronym. It's selective in the sense that I choose the chi element I want to measure, and it's efficient because I will, for reasons that I will describe. So, I told you already that I'm going to, I start by choosing a arbitrary matrix, arbitrary basis of space of operators. It can be Pauli's, but it doesn't need to be. And one of the elements I will choose the identity, proportional to the identity, and is the number zero. But the key observation in which there are two basic ideas which are not our own. One idea is using averages over entire Hilbert space, and the other idea is use randomization. So we combine these two ideas. Averages over Hilbert space with the Haar measure enable you to, for example, if you compute average fidelity of your quantum channel, this quantity, my quantum channel is lambda, and the average fidelity is just take initial state psi, run it in the channel lambda, and compute the survival probability and average over all possible initial states. The key observation is that all the diagonal elements, the diagonal chi matrix element, can be obtained as some kind of average fidelity in this way. For example, how do you do that? Oops, I don't believe that this is okay. My computer crashed. Yeah. Okay. So what do I do? Reboot. My goodness. Cannot be. So do I get, I'm rebooting. Okay, you will see the picture of my daughter. Questions, yes, please. If there are questions.
The rest of the talk is secret.
Okay, I've got a question. So to be kind of useful, you need to know which element would be useful to estimate. Right? You've got this huge range of possible elements in this chi matrix. And I guess for that, you need to have a really good model of your noise. So you decompose it in terms of the operation rate to the noise, and then.
In principle, you don't know what, but for example,
you can officially estimate one, but it's one out of a huge number.
Except, for example, with a given weight, for example, one qubit error, something like that would be useful.
Where's your daughter?
That's what I'm wondering. What's my daughter?
That hill back there is back.
What happened? This is old. Well, anyway. sorry for not answering the questions. Yes. I don't know why it's taking so long. Just to embarrass me.
So I can answer your question.
Yes, like please. Someone else has answered my question.
So, it's a very good question that how to, you know, suppose we can estimate one of these elements efficiently. So what does it even mean? You know, it doesn't, you know, it's not clear what this off-diagonal element means physically. So on Friday, I'm giving a talk that how you can connect these parameters to the parameters of Hamiltonian generating dynamics. So that's for both closed and open systems. So you can, if you can estimate these elements efficiently, you can estimate short-time behavior of certain Hamiltonians in an efficient manner. So these are, like, you can connect it to actual physical. Yeah.
Thank you. Okay. Sorry about that. I didn't even listen to the question. I'm very upset. So the idea is that, first of all, I'm using, I was here, no? Yeah. I'm using the idea that every diagonal element can be obtained some by means of this average over the entire Hilbert space in a way which is simple. So I take this very nice formula from this very nice paper that was mentioned in this conference. Many authors are sitting in the audience. That relates averages over hard metrics with these traces of the operators that are involved here. And if you replace the average fidelity is this quantity, you have the chi matrix representation for the channel, you plug it in here, take the sum outside, use this quantity that the operator basis is orthonormal in this Hilbert-Schmidt inner product, and then you get this result. So chi 0,0 essentially is the weight, is the average fidelity. The weight of the identity in this channel is the average fidelity. This is not a known result. That can be obtained in this way. So of course the rest of the fidelities of the chi n elements can be obtained in the similar way, which is if you modify your channel, it's the average fidelity of a modified channel, which is your original one multiplied in the left and right by the EM operator. So if I'm able to compute this average fidelity where average is averaging over all Hilbert space with the measure, I can compute these diagonal elements. So this is the first ingredient of the method. One question is, okay, this is for diagonal elements. What happens with off-diagonal elements? And this morning in Alex Bosky's talk, there was a mention that the referee requested the off-diagonal elements. So I was not the referee, but before it was. But I have a method for the element.
Yes.
It's not the Krauss operator.
Or not.
Right. The guy that came out.
Yeah. But to actually physically apply that, EM has to be a unitary, right?
Yeah. So I'm choosing a basis of unitaries. For example, Pauli.
Okay, so if your basis is unitary, then you do this.
That is a restrictive, so you have a restriction on the positive basis, but you can certainly do it. For example, Pauli basis is good. There is a quantum circuit that I'm going to be using to show other results. A version of this, so to measure the chi mm element, plug the initial state psi, run it through the channel, apply this operator and measure the survival probability of this same state. And then you have to average over all psi, entire Hilbert space. But this I'm going to use, this is an advance to the signs and so on. So this is the first ingredient of the method. Chi mm elements, so you don't need the ancillary qubits to do this, but only to sample over the entire Hilbert space. Of diagonal elements, it's rather simple. So this one of the things we did in this paper, it is rather simple to realize that you can find off diagonal elements in a rather similar way, but it's slightly different. You cannot use exactly the same method. The circuit that I showed you before is good only for diagonal elements. But off diagonal, this chi mn, you can find them by realizing that they are also an average over the entire Hilbert space, but not of the original channel applied to the pip psi is the projector onto the state psi. So it's a shorthand version of psi psi.
You have to apply to the left En, to the right Em. So you have to do something like that. So you think, how can I do that? Well, you cannot do it. Well, I don't know how to do it without an extra resource, which is one clean auxiliary qubit. But if you have one clean auxiliary qubit, only one, and you are able to do these control operations between your one clean qubit and your system, then you prepare this initial state, you run it through the channel, and you measure survival probability and polarization of this final qubit. So it's the polarization of the final qubit conditioned on the survival of the other star. It's simple to show that the X polarization of this qubit essentially is the encodes the real part of this chi nm, and the Y polarization is the imaginary. So you measure the X and Y polarization of this one qubit, and you get the information about the real and the imaginary part of the off diagonal elements of this chi matrix. So this is one of the pieces of the result. So the same method, so this is essentially the same method you would need to use to measure diagonal elements. So if you put the same operator, except that for diagonal elements, you don't need this extra one cube. No? But it's essentially the same method, the same idea that you can use to measure diagonal and off-diagonal chi matrix elements. But you still need to average over all the states in the Hilbert space. Then you think, how do I do that? And that's where 2D science and this beautiful work on 2D science that I've been reading and not participating in developing, but it's very nice, idea comes. And so you need to compute this kind of averages. And with a 2D sign, if you find a set of states, which is a 2D sign, you can essentially compute the same average by averaging over this finite set of states. How do you get a 2D sign? Well, there are MUBs, or there are approximate 2D signs that you can build if you are able to build a unitary 2D sign and apply it to the 2D sign in the space of operators and apply it to fiducial state, you get a 2D sign in states. So this is the valuable result that would enable you to, in principle, compute the integral exactly. No, so this is an identity, it's not an approximation. Still, 2D signs in states, for example, MUBs, you have d times d plus 1 elements in the 2D sign are exponentially expensive because you have exponentially many of them. So it's not good to be forced to compute this average over all the states. There are too many. But so it is impractical. But this is the idea of randomly sampling. If you say, I want to compute, so this fidelity or the chi and m diagonal and off diagonal elements of the chi matrix can be computed then as averages over these two designs, which is exponentially many states. If you want to compute the average with a fixed precision, which is the independent, then the precision only determines the number of times you have to pick at random. If you are able to sample randomly in this set of 2D signs, you have to choose randomly different states, and how many you have to choose will depend on the precision you want to achieve if you really random sampling, sampling randomly. So that's the idea. The description of the method, I think I could stop here, but I will not stop here. So the nice things of 2D signs used in this method, of course, they compute, they enable us to transform this continuous average into discrete average. And there are, I just here mentioned that there are efficient, meaning efficient order n squared circuits to compute exact 2D signs in exact state 2D signs, and also approximate state to design using these random algorithms that Joe Emerson, Richard Cleave, and others worked out recently. So the idea of the method for the diagonal part only would be you choose at random numbers that decide what is the state that you are going to prepare that must belong to these two design. One of these d times d plus one elements of MUBs would be good. Then you run it through your channel. This is supposed to be a cable of some sort. And then you apply this operator and you measure the survival probability, yes or no. If yes, you compute the average. And over over m realizations, where m is going to be fixed not by the dimension of the Hilbert space, but by the precision that you impose in the estimation. So this is essentially the summary of the result. Oh, okay. So this is what is the relation between the number of experiments you need to do, the number of measurements, and the if you want to estimate with precision epsilon and probability p, then you need you can use Chernoff-Baum to figure out what is the number of experiments you need to do. Of course, you need the results. The results you need is to be able to create these states in the two design and to measure survival probabilities in them. This can be an expensive resource. I'm not claiming that it's. I'm only saying good things about these two designs. Many other people can say bad things because they are hard to create and so on. But if you are able to sample randomly over them, it's very powerful because you can efficiently characterize partial characterization of a quantum channel, like measure some of the matrix element of this chi matrix, only one or a subset of them. There is a further extension, a little bit extension of this that I just want to mention. Oh, do I have 5 minutes? Oh, in 5 minutes I'm done. So a related strategy would be, suppose that now I can follow the same idea and take for the moment the two design that I used in the previous method was a general two design, doesn't need to be related to the operator matrix that I'm the set of operators that I'm using to write the chi matrix representation of the channel. But suppose that you are able to produce efficiently the two design formed by the d plus one mutually unbiased basis associated with the operator basis that you chose. For example, you choose the Pauli matrix, and you know that the Pauli operators can be split into d plus one commuting subgroups. Each one consisting of defining essentially a basis, and suppose that I can sample within that basis, so I can produce element psi bk, where b is the label for the basis, and there are d plus one of such basis, and k is the number for the vector in the basis. So I produce one of these vectors belonging to the MUB, I run them through the channel. And I now measure not only survival probabilities, but transition amplitude, transition probabilities. So in the same basis B, I measure what state K I get. So I input state K, and I measure that, and the output I find K prime. So I find a transition. With these transition elements, again, by making a number of experiments which is independent of the dimension, I can estimate what I can efficiently answer whether or not a given subset of diagonal chi's is bigger than a certain threshold. Why is that? Because for every time I run this protocol, I have an event, say basis B, input K, output K prime. And there are these transitions, there are D operators in my basis that can produce such a transition. No? And then if I from the data that I would gather events by events, there are going to be some of the operators that would repeat, no? That would appear in many of these events. So the ones that do not repeat are the ones that are unlikely that have low, essentially low weight. So this method so I can show you, but this is in the paper, how to adapt this idea to an estimation of the sum of the weights of diagonal chi elements. This may be also, so this is a bit kind of, so the talk essentially ends up here. The next, well, no, it doesn't. There are reasons why I don't want to show this, because this is an experiment that we are going to make in Buenos Aires with in the lab that we are building with this twin photon lab. Essentially, this idea of this so this is a quantum optical implementation of this quantum process tomography that you could do very simply with the this hyper entanglement. Essentially, if you have one qubit, one photon, two qubits. Here we have only the pair of photons is used to this one. This photon goes into a detector that triggers, and we measure coincidence between these ones and that one. And in here we have two qubits, which are in dual rail and plus polarization. So in one photon we have two qubits. And so this is essentially the kind of manipulation that you have to do to create all the input states from the d plus 1, which in this case is 5, because we have d equal to 4, with different settings of these quarter wave plates, half wave plates, and so on, and these beam splitters, you create all 20 states belonging to the d plus 1, to the 5 mutually unbiased bases. And with these ones, you measure, and you can characterize whatever happens here. This is so these are the settings of the quarter wave, half wave, and quarter wave plates. In this case, I mean, I think this, I'm not claiming that this is easy to make in other kind of systems, but in this one, which is just two qubits in one photon, it's simple enough, and it can be done. Hopefully we will do it, but so far it's just in a piece of paper, not in a real lab. Well, it's been built a real lab, but this is not done. That's all. Yes. You have hyper entanglement in the sense that here you have two possible paths for both photons. The one that goes here can be in the dual. You have a dual rail representation. One path, so the qubit, the spatial qubit will be 0, 1, 1, 0. It corresponds to logical 0 and logical 1. And the other photon is the other qubit is polarization. So you have these two little lines would correspond to the two possible modes. Yes. Yes. So you, right. Actually, you will detect here. Well, you can vary this system. For example, if you detect this path or that path in this scheme, you do not detect which you don't have a path information in the photon up there. But essentially, every realization would correspond to a different state in a given basis. No, then you have to change. Yeah. Yeah, so if you record the result in the top, you know which one. If you don't, you just sample. You add the counts. Okay.
Yes.
This allows you to focus in on a particular element of the chi matrix that you want, instead of trying to invert and get the entire chi matrix.
Right.
So can you give me some examples of how I would figure out where I want to look in different situations?
Well, I always thought of if you really think in terms of a black box, you know nothing about the quantum process, then I don't know if I have a good answer to that. But you have to have some physical model of what your noise is, and then this is going to be a way to answer the question, is the weight of the one bit errors, for example, bigger than some threshold? I mean, it's going to give you the information that you need in order to design the quantum error correction strategy. So you need to know what is the weight of the relevant errors that you have. So you have to say, okay, I will design it. One qubit error correction is enough. Or not. You have to know that. But to answer that question, I think it's not the right strategy to make full quantum process tomography. Yeah? That's a limited question.
So what if I wanted to ask a question about an error which wasn't the largest one? And I'll give you an example. So we have spin chains. And we would like to believe that we could manipulate them in such a way that the next nearest neighbor coupling is small. Now, I know that the nearest neighbor couplings are large. I know that there's errors in the individual bits. But I only want to know, can I put a threshold on the next nearest neighbor coupling? Or you know, maybe even the next next nearest neighbor. Can I do this knowing that the other error terms are larger?
You can always do, you can have a, I mean, estimation would work. You can decide this subset of chi matrix elements are less than some threshold, which is also independent of the dimension. If that's okay with you, then this gives you the answer, but maybe it may not be, what you want, because.
I mean, it takes some time to do this process. You're sending information down the channel. I'm going to get some error due to the next nearest neighbor interaction. Yeah. But of course, I'll get an error that looks like that from the non-commutivity of nearest neighbor interactions. Right? And I want to separate those two. I want to know what piece of this error came from a generator that looked like there was a Hamiltonian with the next nearest neighbor as opposed to the integrated action of something else.
So I don't know the answer to this straight away, but
is this precisely process tomography, or are you? It sounds like you're more interested in generators.
I'm not more interested in generators.
Yes.
So yeah, I think that's a problem, of course.
So you need to do this.
Uncontrolled Hamiltonian, and you want to characterize them.
So could you repeat the question? Do you want to do time sampling of the generator?
I'd like to know the amplitude of the generator. And unfortunately, if I want to know the amplitude of the generator, you have to measure the noise at, you know, given a set of times going to shorter and shorter times. So I know that it's really the generator that measures.
Okay, so this is the subject of my talk. So.
Any other questions?
Right.
Thank you again.